It's Monday morning. It's still a little cloudy out here over Lake Mesota, but apparently we're going to get ourselves a very sunny rest of the week, and I'm going to hold them to it. I did a screenshot on my phone of a particular weather app that said the odds of rain from this afternoon through next week Tuesday, every single day, it says 0%, 0%, 0%. Now, the odds are pretty good that in a day or two or three, just in time for Labor Day weekend, it's going to be, a 20% chance of rain, 30%. You know, the system got here faster than we expected. And so I think it's, again, to lure us into that false sense of security that if you want to camp, you can. But as we all know, you know, there's three holiday weekends over the summer where people do most of their camping. And I don't know why, because the weather is just never going to cooperate with it. But right now, it says yes. So I hope it got the rain out of its system, because I think we got probably 5 inches again here. And we'd gotten 5 inches about a week, you know, earlier last week. We got, you know, 3+ between Saturday and Sunday here. So I think we're good. I think we're good for a little bit. It is, you can talk about ending with a whimper instead of a bang. The Gableman investigation, quote unquote, into the 2020 election has quietly come to an end with the subpoenas that he had issued early on. A former state Supreme Court justice threatening to jail the mayors of Madison, Green Bay, and others, you know, issuing these subpoenas with these outrageous demands about, you know, testifying in secret and things like that. That, you know, these mayors and others rightly stood up, you know, to that and said, no, this will not stand. And Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who fired Gableman a couple weeks back on Friday, withdrew the subpoenas because they are put out on behalf of the GOP-controlled legislature. So that pretty much marks the end of the 14-month journey that yielded no evidence of election fraud. And that should be enough right there. But as we heard from State Senator Jeff Smith in an earlier hour this morning, he still gets stopped, I would say accosted, my word, not his, by people who still want to claim that that there was something wrong with the 2020 election, even though there wasn't, even though there has still been no evidence of any widespread fraud. And again, none, except people saying, oh, it's out there, you're just missing it. The only thing there's been evidence of, as the January 6th committee continues to pile up, is the evidence that Donald Trump tried to steal the election. Now, I know in recent polling, the notes that came from it said that it's completely fair to note that Donald Trump, you know, tried to alter the election or tried to delay it, that some people don't like the term steal, but let's not mince words. We know what this was, and we know how it came to a violent and deadly climax on January 6th with an attack on Congress as it was counting the electoral ballots. The only funny business about the 2020 election was coming from Donald Trump and his campaign. So that should have been enough, but instead we got the Gableman investigation. Now the subpoenas have been withdrawn. Attorney General Josh Call reacted by saying, look, last fall, I called for this fake investigation to be shut down. We challenged several subpoenas. While it shouldn't have taken nearly this long, I'm glad the investigation has ended and all the subpoenas have been withdrawn. President Biden won Wisconsin by nearly 21,000 votes. That has withstood recounts, state lawsuits, federal lawsuits, and now the Gableman investigation. And that should be the end of it. Because we have to be focusing not just on this election, but the fact that the winners of this election are going to have an impact on the next presidential election in 2024.
See, Pat, when you send me my gift later this week, I have to return a a gift for you and send you the Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, because the monster does not go quietly into the night. The monster does not die easily. He continues to live, I believe, beyond the doctor in the novel.
Yes.
And therefore, I don't think this is the end of it, but it should. It should be, but we're still going to hear of more of this.
No, it should be, but this monster has been unleashed, and it's been unleashed on the minds of, sadly, too many unsuspecting Americans who are caught up in a right-wing media bubble and are exposed to these kind of, you know, lies over and over again. And perhaps as importantly, it's infected far too many politicians who are rather blatant about how they would like to, for lack of any better word, rig the next election, make it easier for Republican legislators, for example. Tim Michaels, the Republican candidate for governor, has called for disbanding the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Senator Ron Johnson has called on legislators to ignore the Wisconsin Elections Commission. He says you don't have to disband it, but he says legislators have the power to oversee at least federal elections on their own, and that they should take hold of that. That doesn't get nearly the traction that it should. And I understand that by and large, voters want to hear about, you know, things that affect them. They want to hear about economic issues. They want to hear how Ron Johnson very nearly did indeed cost people's lives by spreading misinformation about COVID and the vaccine and such. But I don't think that you don't mention the fact that Ron Johnson has been a peddler of disinformation and of Russian disinformation about American elections, and that he has said blatantly that the Wisconsin legislature should take more steps to allow it, controlled by Republican politicians, to determine who won Wisconsin's electoral votes rather than the voters, that the legislators themselves should get to do that. And that is something that, as you said, long after the monster is gone, whether it's Gableman, whether it's Trump himself, there is now this feeling that it's okay to question election integrity, knowing it's not true, or at least having no evidence that it is true, and knowing the damage that it's doing. And it's something that the only antidote to it is voting to defeat people, you know, who either spread election disinformation or who were present on the Capitol grounds during the January 6th insurrection, you know, whatever their role may be. The fact that they wanted to go to Washington at Donald Trump's behest to, you know, when he said it will be wild, you know, they knew he wasn't talking about, you know, a little princess tea party with pinkies up. This was not what January 6th was ever going to be. And as a result, this election this year is going to, you know, have a major role in the 2024 elections. And it's going to have a major role in, again, our own things at home, like tax policy. Do we pay higher taxes? Do people who have their student loans forgiven have to pay state income taxes on it? Republicans suddenly are pro-tax by wanting student loan borrowers to pay taxes. They want property taxes to go up for public schools. And as we noted, on the ballot this November, in at least 50 school districts, will be nearly $2 billion in referenda requests for higher local property taxes, even as state Republicans sit on a $5 billion surplus. These are tremendous stakes. These are not, again, not small potatoes, and it should get people questioning how they voted in the past without feeling like there's no reason. We can disagree and say, I don't agree with how you voted in 2020, but that doesn't make them a bad person. There should not be necessarily a level of shame. There should simply be a conversation, as Jeff Smith told us earlier. In that conversation, or as Kelly Westland mentioned earlier, or as some of our other guests have mentioned when they're knocking on doors, these conversations show that people are wondering if they have supported a party that has gone too far, that has become too full of itself. And if there's one thing that has always been true about American politics, it's that voters inevitably punish a party when they perceive that that party has gotten too big for its britches. And there's really no better way to put that. Voters know when they feel like one party has swung too far and needs to be reined in. And you see that in pendulum swing elections from the past. I, for one, did not agree with voters in 2010 who thought that Democrats had swung too far and needed to be reined in. But after the Affordable Care Act vote and a whole lot of other things that were done and a lot of things that were said, true and untrue, that's how voters felt. And the potential is definitely there for that to happen this time around. The conventional wisdom is getting less conventional all the time, that this is necessarily going to be something where Republicans have a clear glide path to victory. And some polling, Luke, I think there was a new Republican-leaning poll this week that, again, indicated how close the races are for both Senate and governor.
Yes, there was, I believe, I forget the exact name. I can go find it real quick because I know where to look. But there was a Republican pollster that did polling here in Wisconsin, has incumbent governor Tony Evers ahead by, I believe, half a percentage point in the gubernatorial race. And in the U.S. Senate race, I believe Mandela Barnes was leading by 2 percentage points in that one.
It does lead to this related topic, and that is people that vote for both parties on a ballot. And there's not a lot of them, but sometimes they can make a difference, especially here in Wisconsin. We are a state that has elected Tammy Baldwin and has elected Ron Johnson. Now, those two are not on the ballot the same year, but it just goes to show that, again, we are a closely divided state, and that while it's a small number, there are people who will vote for, say, a Republican for governor and a Democrat for U.S. Senate or something else. It is entirely possible that the incumbents, Republican Ron Johnson and Democrat Tony Evers, both win simply because just enough voters decide they like the incumbent, or vice versa, that they vote against the incumbent. And instead, Tim Michaels and Mandela Barnes both win. It is entirely possible. And again, you can't fault voters who want change if they have learned just enough that they want to vote that way. The only thing that I would really like to guard against is people voting strictly based on what they hear from one particular channel. We all need a better balanced media diet than that. We'll have more after this. You're up north.